December the 24th. Are you ready? Are you set?
My thing is I'm ready, but not prepared.
Yeah. All right. So Mr. Foster is willing to accept gifts. He's just not at the spot to give gifts yet. Yes.
Yeah, some people are getting envelopes with the. Yeah. I had ordered a gift for my one son, and I get an email. I don't know, a few days later, saying, "Oh, we're sorry you canceled your order. You know, please shop with us again." So I call and say, "Wait a minute, I didn't cancel my order." And they go, "Oh no, we canceled the order." Because it said it was in stock, but it's not.
Oh, really?
So my son's getting the
cancel note.
The picture of the gift. But that was frustrating at the very least.
Yeah.
And to be clear, it was a gift I could not get here. It's a very specialized thing he wanted. So
you may as well. Is he listening?
No. He probably is not.
So what was it?
It's a particular piece of audio equipment he wanted.
Very specific. You know the parts houses. Like, I know the parts houses.
So, anyway.
Turkeys. All right. By the way, Mr. Foster is with us this morning, dressed in his Santa Claus skivvies.
Yeah. There you go.
Why do they say that?
Why do they say that?
Bombast. Why is the reason a ranting speech is said to be full of bombast?
I don't know the origins of that. I do know the use of it, but I don't know the origins of it.
You've been at the receiving end of a couple of
those? Absolutely.
Because the soft down of the cotton plant is called bombast, and this was much used in the 16th century for padding clothes. From this, padded speeches came to be known.
Full of bombast.
Bombast, yes.
I've got to brush up on my 16th century
English history.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh,
euphemisms
boy.
Or whatever
so
that
it's
is.
It's been a rather intriguing year.
It has been.
Certainly. I don't know where it comes from, Greg. I think some of the large commercial property purchasing around Hubble Bay is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But a sense of a bubbling.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why. Can't point to it. I think we've had a couple of really nice step in the middle of the deep mud puddle moments this year also.
Oh, sure. Well, I think that's true.
But there's
every
some cool
year, right?
stuff. Well, I was after the show with Karen Deemer last mm-hmm. Friday, we were talking a little bit about how, you know, if Eureka had handled the stoplight on Broadway where they want to put in the development, Carrington wants to put in the development there.
Yeah.
It could have been such a positive.
Mm-hmm.
The city is going to be putting in a stoplight paid for by the proceeds from.
Right.
And if it's not covered, the developer
pays it.
Our neighbor, has voluntarily stepped forward and said he will pay it. So the taxpayers of the city of Eureka will get a free stop or signal light at no charge.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the controversy then?
Well, and you know, so often that's it really is how an issue or a policy or an investment like that is discussed, right? And in fact, I had an argument with a family member who was saying, "This is just the worst thing ever." And I was saying, "No, actually, take a look at it this way. Let's take out some of this, you know, whether the business name or everything else." And I said, "Listen, let's say you had a derelict piece of property, and you decided that to make this property, interesting to the public private sector, who'd be wanting to invest in it, and it was an eyesore. It was a drag on the economy because you're doing a lot of public safety response and all that. So let's say all you had to do was do $500,000 investment in road improvement, and then someone would buy it and develop it. Would you be against that?" And she goes, "No, actually, that makes sense." And I said, "That's what's happening." And, you know, I think part of the problem is that these things are done as reactions to something as opposed to saying, "Okay, let's look at our Broadway specific plan." Not that we have one that I'm aware of right now, but you know, 20 years ago when we saw things happening with Broadway that were, you know, the loss of investment, the decline in some of these properties, you know, if we in the city had said, "Okay, so our goal for Broadway is this, you know, reinvestment in these properties, cleaning it up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And to accomplish that, we need to make certain in infrastructure investments to make it happen. And if we dealt that in a proactive way, then we wouldn't be having these controversies, I think, at a certain extent, because we would have couched it in a sort of longer-term strategic vision.
And how was the topic discussed? How do we present it?
Right.
Oh, okay. Sounds like a win.
Right.
Done.
Right. And that's why planning is so important. I mean, you know,
is that planning or is that
it is
people not used to being marketers?
Kind of getting
out in front and saying black and white instead of, guys, here's what your benefit is.
Well, I think it's planning more broadly defined because, you know, we often talk about planning about general plans and zoning, and that's important. But there also has to be policies outside of that and programs and even maybe infrastructure investments that we say, okay, if the general plan says this, we kind of generally how we want it to look, and the zoning says this is how we do it and what we allow and don't allow, then what's the third piece of that? What are we going to do to move that forward?
Doing.
And you know, I tend to be more on the doing side just because I'm a lender and I'm, you know, doing specific projects. But yeah, it's the doing. It's like, okay, so we have the general plan, the general sketch of what we want. We have the zoning, which what we allow legally and don't allow. But then, okay, so then how do we make that happen? So, you know, in that context, I think those kinds of investments make some sense.
Yeah. Oftentimes it's not the present, it's the wrapping.
Exactly.
Sticking with the theme here.
Perfect.
Or at least trying my best to stick with the theme here.
There you go. All right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
It's sounding like Christmas all over Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. It's all your favorite Christmas music all the time. Christmas music is yours 24 hours a day on 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. Bing, The Carpenters, America, and more contemporary singers like Dolly Parton, Kenny Rogers, Michael Bublé, and others. It's our kind of Christmas music on Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM, the Christmas station. Tell your friends.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDEC. Greg, with some of the successes we've had in the area, though, there are certainly some notable ones. There's some that are still kind of in the evolution. What do you see from an economic development's perspective? What was the one thing? What leapt out on top of all the others for you within the county jurisdiction?
Well, in terms of the most impact, you got to talk about cannabis. Both sort of in the positive and negative, right? You know, we saw a drop in price for the raw product after legalization occurred, and so that has negatively affected, you know, the community and some more than others. Obviously, we've seen, you know, sales tax and cash sales dropping, and the further out you get down in the southern Humboldt and Willow Creek and some areas, I think that that's had a particular effect. And the positive around the legalization, of course, is we are seeing at the county level, you know, the excise tax. The county collected a lot of taxes.
But that's kind of a self-fulfilling cycle there, isn't it? Those go to employ people that are setting up permits and code enforcement for that one sector. So it wasn't a broad brush benefit for the community in that regard.
Well, what's interesting is yes and no. I mean, I think the county has some discretion, you know, because it's going into the general fund, so they'll spend it on stuff. And you know, while the price has dropped, that hasn't been the only factor that dries up the cash that's spent on retail sales. Certainly, there are a lot of money that's been spent on taxes, on on all of the permitting, you know, the attorneys and the engineers and everything else you need. And so, you know.
Yeah, the consultant.
Right. So that capital flew, moved from one area to another. Some of it disappeared, but some of it because of the drop in price, but I think also that it moved from one sector or another. Certainly, we've seen a tremendous amount of investment in real estate, and you know, I can see buildings going up in Arcata and Eureka, and you know, if you drive down by Rio Dell, there's that big building, you know, big manufacturing building going on down there. So money is being spent now on the investment side, and you know, we're hearing about, you know, company leasing out the old B and Padre, company buying the old Kmart. So we're going to see a lot of that sort of investment flow come in. Certainly the contracting industry is doing well right now. Anyone trying to get a contractor knows that for sure. And then talking to contractors, they're talking about, you know, we're really busy, we're backed up, and we don't have enough people to work. And we need employees. So that's all good, you know. But I think if you the one big single thing, that would be it. And, you know, positive, negative, change. People always ask me, you know, what do you see happening in the next 5 years with that industry and how it affects us? And I say, ask me in 7 years and I can tell you. Because I really don't know. We can guess a lot, but there's a lot of employees out there now working for these companies. And, you know, I visited one in Arcata, and I was like, it's a manufacturing company. I said, how many employees do you have? 47. Wow. You know, that's a fair amount. Another one in Eureka that's employing, you know, multiples, 10, you know, 50 employees or something like that. So,
yeah, it's interesting. When I asked you the question, I was wondering, okay, I'm running my
right
response. I see the marijuana in total,
mm-hmm.
Why there is some employment and it's coming out of the shadow, so to speak. But the legalization really knocking the knees out of a lot of our local economy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jennifer Budwig's references there, okay, so that's a big chunk out. Now, there's some backfilling going on.
Right,
no question
right,
about that.
Right.
But in hearing... Let's see, Karen had said Arcata's sales tax was off about between 1% and 3% year-to-date calendar.
Yeah.
Eureka, I've heard multiples of that figure.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we were still illegal and the Trump recovery was in place, we'd be up 15 or 20%. Those are some eye-popping numbers for little old, you know, backwater Humboldt and Del Norte County.
Well.
If it, in fact, had translated that way, and who knows, you know. There's a lot of question about that. But with the legalization, what I'm looking at is the crime element still is intact.
Right.
And that, to me, is the negative side, if you will. That 16,000 plant bust.
Right.
Holy Toledo.
Yeah.
I mean, things like that, the attacks on the illegal grows by the illegal folks
right.
continues. Bodies can – it's not a panacea, and I suppose that's – You know,
well, I don't believe
off the rose-covered lenses a little bit. We're still dealing with repercussions.
Right, right. I mean, and we're basically 10 years into a recovery now since the recession, and you know, just in general, economies, you know, cycle. So you know, regardless of various things, you always have to be prepared for the cycle. And you're right. I don't believe in panaceas. And I think that anyone that goes out and says any one thing is the cure to all our ills here is, you know, sort of the trombone, you know, the instrument salesman coming in like the music man, right? And what you need is a band because you have trouble with the pool hall, right? And you know, there is no panacea. The what you need to do is recognize that the best economies are those that are diverse and that are resilient based on a whole number of factors, one of which being able to do a multiple numbers of things and be good at that, so that if one thing is not doing as well, something else might be.
Yeah, broadening your base.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a simple way to say it.
Yep.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with the Executive Director of REDEC, Mr. Greg Foster. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, Murphy's Markets, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and the aforementioned, I like that, that's a Dennis Miller word.
Yeah,
the aforementioned Mr. Foster.
That's a, yes. You know, and the sponsorships are getting kind of crowded here. Huh?
Yeah, it's about capacity, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
Hot stuff.
Yeah.
Greg, I would have said the positive for me was recognition. I know that's a little ethereal, but recognition that housing is part of our infrastructure and
absolutely.
It needs to be addressed.
Absolutely.
It was ignored before.
Yeah.
Recognition by United, so we have the Denver.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be, to me personally, I think that's going to be the bellwether of this past year, really what's going on. Because I think it opens horizons literally and culturally and psychologically,
right.
We can be somewhere. Recognition with the 100 years or 50 years of National Park.
Yeah,
you know, I think recognition of our area as being viable, and a lot of the folks from the valley coming over because they're avoiding the fire in Redding, the fire in Chico, the fire in Grants
right,
Pass.
Right, right,
right. I think that might be it's at least my working word right now.
Right. Well, you know, and back when I was in advertising, we always talk about your unique selling proposition, right? What makes you different than anything else? And that's what people buy and appreciate. And so we are like no other place here. We are a small community that has incredible cultural resources, that has, you know, higher education, that has, you know, unmatched on the planet natural resources and beauty, and you know, while we have a lot of grousing here, very few people that are grousing here will really go and be somewhere else, right? It's like, oh yeah, but well, why don't you move to Chico, or you know, it's like, well, it's hot and smoky and they have the fires and, you know, and all that stuff, and it's like, well, yeah, exactly. So you know, depending on your theological basis, there is no such thing as a perfect place, right? Until after you're dead, I guess. And so, you know, we recognize that we are a community like many other communities, and we are a community that also has things that no one else has. And so, yeah, you're right. And what's interesting, I had a meeting the other day with a bunch of chamber and tourism people. We kind of get together once a month and eat pizza and kind of share ideas and what's going on with you and that.
What's going on with me?
No, yeah, yeah, you specifically. It's a very short lunch.
Yeah, yeah, small pizza.
But one of the things I mentioned, you know, I said, well, you know, we have Redwood National Park. We had the Redwood Parks Conservancy person there, and they run the visitor centers and all that. And I said, you know, it's amazing that we have this UNESCO World Heritage site. And there are never people in the room who are like, what? What is that?
We don't know it.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's international and you have to apply to get it. And, you know, it's the UN that makes the decision of whether or not you get this. And I said, that's a big deal because people, you know, you can say the Taj Mahal, you know, all these places, the pyramids, and the Redwoods of California and the Redwood National State Parks are World Heritage Sites. And so we have something that no one else has. And I think that's important. This is exactly when I'm talking to the airlines, part of the pitch, you know,
we should be a destination for a lot of this stuff.
We are, you know, and we're going to, starting in July, I hope we can start doing some in-terminal surveys of passengers to get a better idea of our market. But we do know that about 45% of the people that come through our airport are coming from somewhere else. They're considered visitors. Not necessarily tourists, right? It just means that they live somewhere.
Outside of 50 miles, right?
Right. Well, yeah, about 150 miles, right? So,
Well, same thing if you're flying in.
Exactly, exactly. So, but, you know, we define our market area as kind of like this 200-mile radius around us and 150. And so basically, so we know that they're coming here for a reason. It's work or pleasure or family connections or school or whatever else. So we want to know more about that. But, yeah, we're, you know, I had a conversation yesterday. I was meeting with a hotel and we were talking about using, you know, promoting into Los Angeles and the flying. And I said, you know, basically you can now say you're 2 hours from, you know, LAX to here. And in 2 hours, you're a world away.
Pablo Cruz. Sorry.
Right. and we're more than just redwoods, although that's incredibly important because, you know, the Santa Cruz redwoods and the Muir woods get a lot of attention. But what we are more, better, and uncrowded redwoods. So you think about the Muir woods, the national, you know, historic or national park. It's not a park, but it's a national owned by the federal government. You know, you have to have reservations to get in. You know, you have to have reservations to park. And so we beat that all to heck.
I was thinking when we were driving up after getting Stefan from Santa Rosa, coming in through the Laytonville, the Round Valley.
Yeah.
And thinking, okay, we've got elk.
Mm-hmm.
We've got real trees.
Yep.
We've got scenic uncharted.
Yep.
We've got lagoon. We've got ocean. We've got streams. What must somebody who's coming either from the Midwest and it's all flat,
right,
or somebody from metropolitan area, what must they think as they're coming in?
Right. Yeah. It's awe-inspiring.
Yeah. And it's routine for us.
Well, and you know, having grown up in Southern Humboldt, you know, it's like trees are 300 feet tall. That's what they are around my house. I grew up in the middle of the park, right?
Everything else is an imitator.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, the thing I always liked, especially when I went out to college, is bringing my college friends up and showing them my town. You know, and they grew up in the Bay Area, most of them, that sort of thing. And they're like, "What? You know, this is the town you grew up in?
Yeah,
you know,
it's
nothing." And but walking them down out of Miranda into Stevens Grove and down into the park, and they were just like, oh, you know, this is, you know, they were without words in some sense. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, of course it is. You mean it's kids? You didn't run around in trees like this and make, you know, dam creeks and catch salamanders and
forts?
Yeah, and all that?
Yeah.
It's unique.
But they probably use less salt than we did
in those slugs.
Yeah.
Exactly.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 844.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time, it's 8:47. Christmas Eve, 2019.
Yeah, 2018. Don't get ahead of yourself.
No, I'm still trying to figure out 20. What's got you? What's the one thing that you're looking forward to in 19? What do you think is going to be the punch-through issue?
Oh, my gosh. Ask me in 2020, and I can tell you.
With 70% accuracy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, fine.
You know, the thing, you know, personally at REDAC, you know, we're looking forward to, we have some great loans coming down that will make a real difference that we're very excited about. And I wish I could talk about them, but I can after we do it. But, you know, a couple businesses that we've been working with that are, you know, nationally known and are really making a difference. And
Hamburger related?
No.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, you know, that's where everybody's going to go initially, right?
No. These are locally owned businesses that have national and in fact, one distributes internationally. That's very exciting. of course, I'd be remiss not to mention the airport. And, you know, we've been, that LAX flight has been over 90% full basically since its inception. And so we're looking forward to continuing. So
is that rip the knobs off?
That's
locked in, that's not going to go away, not in danger? Or
I could not see any reason why they would do that. It's been hugely successful beyond their projections, beyond our predictions. And so we have June 7th, we have Denver starting up. So we'll be, you know, really promoting that in the you know, late winter, early spring. And we're talking to United about different schedule enhancements and changes, and I'm hopeful that they will take those on. Working with the new airport director, Cody, he's great. We make a great team. I think I need to bring him in here to talk because he's a great guy. And
any chance at a northern route?
That's our next goal. And, okay. And he and I have talked about that, you know, which airlines we want to target, which pitch we can make. Most likely a Seattle. You know, that's where really our target is.
And Horizon's been here. They would be the logical one,
wouldn't they? They would, except Alaska and Horizon, unfortunately, are going through some financial and other issues.
Shaking out
there's a big shakeout going on up there. They just lost their VP, John Kirby, who left for another airline, and he was a real mover and shaker in the company. So we'll see where they go. I mean, there's two big airlines right now hubbing out of Seattle, Delta being one of them. They really have.
That would be cool.
Yeah. And so, you know, we'll see. I mean, we Cody and I have talked a lot about these things, and we've got some good ideas for the airport itself and air service, and we're willing
Does
to pitch in.
Does that include a restaurant?
And we're willing to pitch in as much time. I certainly hope so. And, you know, with REDEC, we continue to invest our money and our time in supporting that, and look forward to doing that ongoing.
Apparently, I got a little close to something there.
Well, I would love, you know, I mean,
that's okay. That's
for
okay.
me, you know, I don't, I unfortunately don't have any control over that, but
time will tell.
We definitely need one.
All righty, man. Merry Christmas.
All right.
Have fun with everybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Safe travels.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.